Chapter 6. Blood. Lucy lowered the pistol.
I don't have a... How do you... I'm your half-sister. Mom showed me pictures of you, said Shona.
When? Said Lucy.
Before she... Before the virus, said Shona.
So she's dead? Said Lucy.
Shona nodded. Lucy lowered the pistol and slumped into the armchair.
May I?
Said Shona, gesturing to the couch.
Of course,
said Lucy, waving her through and setting the pistol down on the coffee table. Sorry about the gun. Life's, you know.
What happened to Mom? She died in the first week. It was the virus that got her. I buried her properly. We can visit the grave if you want. I'm so sorry you've come all this way. This must be so awful. How did you even make it here from Louisiana? Said Shona.
I'm from San Francisco, said Lucy matter-of-factly.
Oh, sorry. Mom said Clinton, said Shona.
Clinton's where she left us, said Lucy, staring at the coffee table.
Are you on your own?
Said Shona. Lucy laughed once, bitterly.
Yeah, Shona. I'm on my own.
It's not safe to be alone in this city. Please come back with us. We have food and hot water and so much to talk about. I don't even know where to begin.
We? Said Lucy.
Hey, Troy, come say hi,
called Shona, leaning into the hallway. A car door slammed outside and footsteps approached the building, crossing the threshold and the short hall.
Troy, you're not going to believe this. It's some kind of miracle. This is my sister, Lucy,
said Shona, beaming. A tall, well-fed man entered the room with a shotgun slung over his shoulder. He wore a sweeping robe of brilliant white. A bronze medallion hung from his neck by a crimson cord. Lucy gasped.
Lucy, this is my partner, Troy, though most people call him Preacher, said Shona.
That your pistol, ma'am?
Said Troy to Lucy, aiming the shotgun at her.
Yeah?
Said Lucy, gulping, her eyes flitting to her discarded pistol on the coffee table.
Shona, sweetie, would you pick it up for me?
Said Troy, his voice stern.
Troy, this is so rude. She's my sister,
said Shona, fetching the pistol. Troy pocketed the pistol and slung the shotgun over his shoulder, giving Lucy a smile of genuine warmth.
Sorry about the hostility, Lucy, but times have changed. I'm hoping they'll change back. It's an honor to meet you. If you've got half your sister's genes, then that makes you half perfect. I want to be clear. You're family. And that means you'll always have a place at our table. Break bread with us and shelter with us as long as you need,
he said with a gracious bow. Thank you, said Lucy, her stomach churning. She looked nervously at Shona, who was smiling proudly.
Did you find the photos, honey? Said the preacher.
Gosh, I totally forgot. Let me grab them, said Shona, rooting through the cupboards.
We got a limited number of vehicles, so I keep trips like this on the DL. Otherwise, folk get jealous, you know? And fairness is a big thing now, said Troy.
Oh, sure, said Lucy, watching as Shona scooped up all the photos in the room. She knew exactly which drawers to check.
That's all of them, said Shona.
Okay, sweetie, let's make a move. Lucy, how'd you get here? You got a car?
Said Troy. It broke down south of the city. I walked here, she said, swallowing nervously.
She started in San Francisco, added Shona.
That's a long way to make a journey like that in times like these. Well, that's real love. I think it makes you something of a pilgrim, Lucy. Come on now, let's get home. This calls for a celebratory lunch. We shall mark the pilgrim's arrival,
said Troy warmly. As they drove across town, it became clear they were entering the faithful's territory. Many of the buildings they passed had long black sheets billowing from the uppermost windows, trailing down several floors. They'd even reached two skyscrapers. At ground level, gone were the black painted crosses on street corners. There were no infected streets here. In their place was a new emblem, a painted white ring with a horizontal line through the middle. They were in the historic quarter of the city. Centuries-old stone buildings stood nestled among their taller glass descendants.
At every checkpoint they passed, the guards would pay their respects to Troy with great sincerity. He would offer them a blessing, words of encouragement and love, and introduce Lucy, their newest pilgrim. Finally, they came to a stop. 1 McKinley Square, read the inscription above a stately building. The square was bustling with people moving between buildings, ferrying carts of water, bread, laundry, books, wood, tools. Everyone seemed to have a clear purpose. Only a handful of patrolling men and women with guns wore black robes. But the guns were holstered or slung over shoulders, and the guards engaged in convivial conversation with their non-uniformed peers. Lucy climbed out of the car with the others. She could smell the sea. She took in the tall, imposing stone building opposite. Marriott's Custom House, read the inscription. The front featured broad, neoclassical stone pillars several stories high, adorned by a temple-like triangular pediment. Out of this rose a stone tower easily 24 stories high. It was clad in billowing black sheets bearing the white emblem.
This way, said Shona, taking Lucy by the arm and steering her towards the first stately building. It was 7 stories high and had 12 windows spanning the width of the building. Each was inset among wide stone walls with decorative touches of masonry. A band of stone cornicing wrapped around the upper floors of the building. Shona led the way inside. Much of the ground floor office space had been converted into a canteen where the three of them took a seat. The preacher was immediately beset with questions from fellow workers, so Shona took Lucy to the buffet where they each received a portion of hot, smoked fish and cornbread. Shona took a portion for the preacher, too. They retook their seats. Troy invited Shona to say grace.
My preacher, my brothers and sisters, for this gift we thank you, and by the grace of the Almighty, we will prevail, she said, scrunching up her eyes in concentration as she delivered each syllable with sincerity.
Together, said the preacher, raising his cup of water.
Together, said Shona, smiling.
She raised hers and intimated to Lucy to copy. The three clinked glasses and ate. The preacher was keen to know details of Lucy's journey so far. She gave an honest account of the creatures and the train, her loss of Dan, and her struggle to survive the winter alone. She told them of the military and the Queen in New York City, but stopped short of any mention of the white powder disease. The preacher listened intently and pressed her for details about the D4 creatures that were plaguing the rest of the country.
From your account, Lucy, I believe spring will bring us these creatures, and they will be our greatest test yet. I must humbly ask you to help us prepare for this. With your knowledge and the Lord's wisdom, we can protect my people from this threat, he said solemnly.
Shona nodded eagerly in approval and looked to Lucy expectantly. Lucy muttered an awkward pledge to help in any way she could.
We are being punished for our arrogance, continued Troy.
Amen, said Shona, nodding further.
First God sent us the virus. Those who repented and those whom she chose survived. Then came her winter, and with it the justice of nature. Nature exists to teach us humility, Lucy. With the first thaw, God sent her messengers to me, who told of the state of the city. I knew I could not sit idly by and allow such barbarism to persist. I looked into my heart, and I felt the love of the Lord, and I answered her call. We eradicated the unspeakables, Lucy. We saved this city from its descent into savagery and the gravest of carnal sins. But there is work yet to be done. There is a new scourge in this city, and we must punish the sinners. We will track them down one by one and cleanse their souls in the name of the Lord. But our work will not end there, Lucy. Spring is coming, and with it there will be a day of reckoning for those who have abandoned their fellow human. For the police holed up in the prison fortress, and for the dispassionate hiding behind their walls, justice will come to them, Lucy, the Lord's justice. And the weak, the vulnerable, those who kept their faith, and those who have found it, they will become the strong. Theirs is the future, Lucy. And so it will be done.
Are you ready? Said Shona, knocking on the door. Lucy's apartment was beautiful. It had been a hell of a climb to reach the 15th floor of the Marriott's tower, but the view of the city was incredible. She had luxurious bedding, a candle to read by, and a choice of books from the hotel library. Just a minute, said Lucy as she changed out of her work clothes. The smell of fish lingered in them after an afternoon of gutting, deboning, and smoking that day's haul. She froze as she caught sight of her back in the mirror. A fresh lesion had appeared between her shoulder blades. It looked raw and was already the width of her fist. A church bell sounded three times.
We don't want to be late, said Shona, tapping the door again.
Nearly there, called Lucy, as she tugged on her shirt firmly, along with a sweater and woolly hat. How do I look? She said, opening the door to Shona.
They fit you so well,
cheered Shona, who had lent her the clothes so that she'd have a non-work set. Lucy's face fell. Shona was wearing a black robe.
Wow, you've got one of those, huh? Said Lucy, trying to contain her disgust.
And now, so do you,
chimed Shona, proudly whipping out a spare robe from behind her back. This is for me? Said Lucy, holding the garment at arm's length.
You'll need it. You're not allowed in the church without one. We actually don't have enough right now, but there are lots of masses every day, so people share them. I pulled a few strings. Got you a good one, said Shona with a playful nudge.
Thanks, said Lucy.
The bell sounded again, three chimes at 1 second intervals.
Quick, put it on, said Shona, helping Lucy into it. It totally suits you. Let's go. We don't want to be stuck in the back row, she added, setting off excitedly.
As they descended the staircase, they joined a growing trickle of robe-clad residents, all heading to the central conference room in the building across the square. At the door, every resident was patted down by the ushers.
No weapons allowed inside the church, whispered Shona, explaining.
Lucy winced as the usher patted her lesion. She followed Shona inside the crowded room. The first two rows were full already, but Shona squeezed them into the third.
I know what you're thinking, whispered Shona.
Lucy raised an eyebrow.
How come the preacher's partner doesn't get a front row seat? We're all equal in the eyes of the Lord, Lucy, said Shona with a chuckle.
Within 5 minutes, the conference room was packed. There was an excited murmuring across the 100 or so robe-clad residents. But with the sounding of a gong, they all fell silent and rose to their feet. Lucy copied and watched as Troy strode onto the stage, his white robe glimmering in the candlelight.
Sisters, brothers, friends, a blessed evening to you all, he boomed.
And to you, O preacher, replied the crowd.
Be seated, please. Tonight I have joyous news. The Lord, in her infinite wisdom, has delivered unto us a lesson, declared Troy.
Hallelujah!
Cried Shona, with dozens of others from the crowd, all on the edges of their seats.
We know that the Lord is true to us. She guides us, and we will follow. For those who follow, prosper, said Troy.
More cries of confirmation from the crowd.
We have been chosen by the Lord, chosen to survive, chosen to take her message to the others. To her children who have strayed from the path of righteousness, she chose us to survive the virus. She chose us to survive the winter. She chose us to defeat the unspeakables, shouted Troy.
Amen! Amen! Amen!
Cheered the crowd.
But now, my faithful children, the Lord has tasked us once again. She has marked out those who have forsaken her, those who have sinned and continue to sin. She has put upon them a plague, a sickness to punish their arrogance and their folly. It is on us, as her instruments on this earth, to complete this work she has so wisely begun. Will you let the Lord guide your spirit Will you open your heart to her wisdom? Will you be a vessel for her work? Cried Troy.
We will,
replied the crowd in forceful unison.
My brothers and sisters, some of you have seen this curse firsthand. Others of you have heard me speak of it. The scourge, the plague, the sickness. It is the Lord's work. She has marked out those whom we must cleanse, and cleanse them we shall. But there is a second, more heinous group of sinners we must also address. Those who choose to deny the Lord's will, declared Troy.
Arrogance! Shame! Blasphemy!
Cried the crowd.
Incredible as it may seem, there are those who deny the Lord's curse. They seek to reverse it. They seek to deny it. They seek to challenge the Lord's wisdom, as if their judgment is superior. This is an affliction worse than the plague itself. It is a form of blindness. It is pure sin. My children, I must tell you solemnly that tonight we have such a sinner in our midst.
The crowd reacted with shock and dismay. Frenetic murmuring broke out. A chill of dread washed over Lucy.
Indeed, it is a terrible thing, but it is the truth. The Lord has delivered into our hands an agent of Satan, declared Troy.
The crowd cried out for punishment, for retribution, for justice. Lucy looked nervously to Shona, who beside her was punching the air, echoing her peers' cries for blood. She turned and gave Lucy a beaming smile, then carried on cheering.
Tonight, we will be the Lord's witnesses. Tonight, we will see the Lord's judgment. Tonight, we will do the Lord's work,
declared Troy to the crowd's cheers. He raised his hand, and two robed ushers dragged a prisoner to the center of the stage. The person was dressed in a khaki jumpsuit. Their hands were bound behind their back, and their head covered by a hood. Lucy's heart froze. The ushers thrust the figure onto their knees, facing the crowd. Troy marched to the side of the prisoner and paused with his hand hovering above the prisoner's head. In an instant, he snatched the hood off. It was Charlie. The crowd rose to their feet and erupted with jeers of hate and condemnation. Lucy stared in horror as Troy circled the doctor, the woman who had almost claimed his life hours earlier, and upon whom the city's infected people depended. Charlie stared at the tumultuous crowd in disbelief and fear, shaking her head imploringly as they taunted her with cries of, "Sinner!" Troy clapped his hands and the crowd fell silent, retaking their seats.
My brothers and sisters, our Lord is just. Our Lord is wise. But is our Lord also not merciful? Said Troy.
Murmurs of consent among the crowd.
Is our Lord not also love?
A few cries of Amen answered the call.
If we are to rebuild our world with humility and the love of the Lord in our hearts, we must be prepared to forgive. As many of you in this very room have been forgiven, so too must you be willing to forgive others. But ultimately, forgiveness is the Lord's to give. And to be forgiven, you must first ask the Lord to forgive you. So here we are, my children. I give you this sinner before the Lord. I pray that she repents. I pray that she searches her heart for truth. I pray that she begs the Lord here and now for forgiveness,
declared Troy. All eyes fell upon the doctor, whose eyes were filled with tears.
Speak, child, for the Lord is listening, urged Troy. I'm begging everyone in this room to remember who they were before this happened. Think of what you knew. Think of what you had. Technology, medicine, electricity.
This insanity is not the way back. Remember who you are, implored Charlie.
The crowd stared at her silently while Troy circled with slow, careful paces.
Is that your final word? He asked.
How's this happening? I've committed no crime. I'm a doctor. Remember those? The people that kept everyone alive? All I'm doing is helping sick people, pleaded Charlie.
You are denying the will of the Lord. You are abetting sinners. That makes you a sinner, too, said Troy.
I'm the sinner? You killed my partner. He was unarmed. You're a goddamned murderer, she cried.
The crowd booed and jeered in outrage at this insult to their leader, with some in the front row spitting at Charlie.
There you have it. Her final word. No humility, no repentance. Instead, she accuses the Lord's servants. This sinner has refused forgiveness. Justice must be delivered, cried Troy.
The crowd cheered eagerly as the ushers dragged Charlie from the room. The fire exit doors were opened, and the congregation poured outside into McKinley Square, where guards stood with large, burning torches. The night was clear, and the moon was almost full. The ushers wrestled the doctor into the center of the square, then backed away as the congregation encircled her. More robe wearers circulated through the crowd, wheeling a cart of jagged rocks and bricks.
Take one,
instructed Shona eagerly as she took two herself. Lucy picked up a small, sharp stone and held it limply by her side. A sickening feeling rose through her stomach.
Do we have any new believers?
Cried Troy as he entered the center of the circle.
Here!
Cried Shona, taking Lucy by the hand and pulling her to the front. A few others also made their way forwards, including a parent dragging her younger daughter. The girl looked too young even to start school. The newcomers looked nervously at one another. A few stared at the doctor with grim determination. Charlie spotted Lucy, and the pair locked eyes. Lucy swayed, her hand trembling. She glanced around the courtyard, searching for a way to intervene, looking for a gun to grab, something, anything. The doctor gave her a micro shake of the head and stared at the ground, then closed her eyes. Troy stepped back from the condemned woman and addressed the crowd with fervor.
Tonight, you are all instruments of the Lord. You are agents of her justice. Do you feel her spirit working through you? He bellowed.
We do,
cried the crowd.
Do you feel her power working through you? Demanded Troy.
We do,
cried the crowd, louder still, including many of the newcomers in the front row.
Are you prepared to deliver the Lord, our Savior's justice? Cried Troy.
We are,
proclaimed the crowd. The child, buoyed by her mother's encouragement, was also shouting and looking upon the doctor with hatred.
Then I say to you, in the name of the Lord, let her will be done, declared Troy.
The crowd erupted in cries of anger and condemnation as they unleashed a barrage of rocks and bricks upon the kneeling doctor. The stones pulverized Charlie's body, swiftly sending her to the ground. The crowd pressed in further, crushing around Lucy as they hurled stones directly down upon her, bludgeoning the doctor's face, splitting open her skull, rupturing her organs. The worshippers jostled and cheered, all eager to ensure they contributed to the work of the Lord. Lucy dropped her stone and ran from the crowd. She staggered to a bench in the square and vomited heavily before collapsing, weeping. After less than a minute, the commotion was over, and the crowd cheered in celebration. Shona appeared by the bench and knelt beside Lucy. Her voice was tender but energized.
Hey, you did a good thing. I was scared the first time, too, but once you've let the Lord into your heart, you'll see it's okay. That awful woman's free now. Her soul has been saved, said Shona, stroking Lucy's hair. Another voice drew Lucy's head up as the newcomer mother crossed the square, holding her daughter's hand.
I am so proud of you. The Lord is going to be so impressed by what you did, said the child's mother.
Lucy glanced up at the center of the square, where a sheet had been drawn over the doctor's mutilated body. Ushers were busily spraying the site with holy water and muttering incantations. Troy strolled over to the bench and took a seat beside Lucy.
I abhor violence. I always have, and I always will. But sometimes, when we are doing the will of the Lord, we must sacrifice our own feelings for something much greater than ourselves. You understand why this was necessary. You are a woman of science yourself, Lucy. You know we cannot rebuild mankind if we allow this sickness to invade us. You are one of us now, Lucy, and the Lord has a plan for you.